From Buenos Aires, Argentina, I'm Paige Nichols.
I'm Caroline McCann.
And this is Bad Information, a love letter to the country that drives us mad. Mad. So mad, I'm just going to live in this undertable fort forever.
Mad Hatter.
Literally. Mad Max. I never saw that. I don't know what that is. I think that we've officially gone mad because we haven't, like, basically, like, the only journeys we're taking are to the supermercado, right? To the Coto to get, like, peanut butter M&Ms. And we're just, like, antsy for adventure and for a change of scenery. Are we not?
Wanderlust, absolutely. I mean, there's wanderlust, there's wanderphobia, like there's all sorts of situations.
I wonder if like a new therapy will emerge from this that's like how to deal with your wanderlust phobia. Because it's like, hay que viajar, pero tengo miedo, che.
Totalmente.
Total. So
yeah, like, I kind of just realized, like over the course of the past few years of my life, like, the ground that I cover has become like much smaller, like on any given day. Cause I used to like fly around the country in the, when I was living in the US, and then it was like here in BA, like didn't have a car and was just like moving around like generally a small radius once in a while going to, you know, different locations, like, but like generally local. And then with quarantine, it was like, oh, my radius is now 4 blocks.
It's like the actual personification of think globally, act locally.
Totally.
Like we are finally living all that shit they would tell us at like social media conferences or whatever with like expensive keynote speakers. So yeah, all of this to kind of build up and say that like this week, because we cannot go anywhere, I mean, and we obviously haven't been for a while, and I think we're all just like chomping at the bit. Like let's talk, like let's move beyond Buenos Aires. Let's like leave Capital, even if it's in our minds, and let's just like talk about what it's like to like the rest of Argentina, traveling in Argentina, the El Argentino como viajero, which is like its own whole separate
totally
magical machine, and just like maybe it will give us some respite for a while where we can like fantasize about micros de larga distancia, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as soon as you tell me that I'm allowed to cross provincia lines, I'm doing it.
Like, I am going on Plataforma 10 right now and, like, buying a ticket to Terma de Rio Hondo. Like,
donde sea.
I just want to go to a random provincia and then just, like, be with the jubilados and, like, driving around in, like, a little tiny car, but, like, always with the termo and then just, like, going to, like, miradores turísticos.
Totally. Like, spots energéticos. Which, oh my God, I can't wait to get into that bit. But yeah, I think we were talking yesterday, like when you first move down here, like you're setting foot on this new continent and you're kind of like, all of a sudden it's like, I want to go to Peru and I want to go to, you know, the north of Brazil and I want to, and then it's like, it's freaking massive, you know?
It's so far. Like, everyone, like, people will be like, oh, do you just go to, like, Machu Picchu for a weekend? And I'm like, I don't live in Europe. Like, Europe fits inside of Argentina, basically, right? So it's, like,
good point.
This, like, misconception and also, like, the very, like, at least the reality of, like, the lack of low-cost airlines, right? Like, at least when we first got here, both of us, it was, like, that was not a thing. So, like, even if I wanted to go to Peru for a weekend, it's, like, an 8-hour flight. Okay, fine. Or, like, 6 or I don't know how to do math. But, like, okay, let's say I do it. But then it's, like, the ticket costs, like, almost as much to get to the United States. So it's kind of, like...
Totally. So it's, like... Totally. And it's kind of a lot... Some of those destinations, it's, like, it's just as far for us as it would be from someone, like, in the States.
Yeah.
Depending on where they are, obviously. But I definitely felt that temptation when I got down here. I would meet people who were more, like, backpacking through Argentina. And they'd be, like, oh, I'm coming from Chile and I'm going to, you know, Peru. And I was, like... definitely very tempted, but I also knew that like my plan was to come here and stay here and like integrate myself in the culture here. But luckily over the course of my time here, I really have like seen a lot of Argentina itself, yeah. And you
it's
too.
It's such a big country, and it's so gorgeous. I mean, when I was studying abroad, I didn't do that many weekend trips out and about. Like, I did have friends who would go, not every weekend, but they did, like, Mendoza, Iguazu, Bariloche, the north, like, you know, maybe somewhere else, like, kind of all in a go. And I didn't do as much at that first go around. But when you think about it, I mean, Argentina has jungle, it has like desert mountains, it has vineyards, it has glaciers, it has like crazy lakes and forests. I mean, it has pampas, it has everything.
And it has everything.
Like, that's what's, I mean, I guess thinking in this new context of like, what if international travel, you know, doesn't, like, what if we aren't traveling internationally like we used to, and as kind of spoiled globalized people, and if we have to kind of like limit ourselves to within our borders, like, luckily Argentina has tons of I would say its strength is clearly like natural paisajes, because
undisturbed natural paisajes.
Yeah, like pure, beautiful, just like goodness. Like, oh my gosh, the place I was supposed to go in February, Bahía Bustamante, which like I'm still fantasizing about, with like the penguins. It's in the Atlantic side of Patagonia, so it's like on the ocean.
Cool. And it has these, kind of Puerto Pirámides.
Yeah, it's like zone? Fly into like Trelew, and then you like drive into the middle of nowhere, and like you look at it, and it literally is just the most undisturbed perfection. Oh my god. But like, I will say that in terms of cities, I mean, BA is really just the one and only. I think that there's like that true distinction of like Buenos Aires es otro país. Like, if you really compare like with the interior, like that's a whole other concept too, right? Like, el interior como estilo de vida. And like, because even, like, I was in Córdoba capital, last year. And, I mean, it's not, like, a big city. You know what I mean?
No. It has a town kind of feel. It has a student, the university there, kind of feel.
Yeah, and it's, like, great, but it's not, like, a bustling, you know, like a capital. Like, you don't feel like you're in, like, you know, Madrid, obviously, or Rome. Or, I mean, you know, it's sort of like you only have one of those in Argentina, and it's BA.
Right. And I think Córdoba, is a beautiful city. And a lot of people talk about kind of like this, like, magia and like mysticism around like the energía in Córdoba. And I definitely picked up on that. I mean, I think it's an incredibly special place, and there's like hippie communes. And
there's like full on hippies like living in tents in the mountains. It's amazing.
It's so cool. And I think that's a trend that I've experienced with a lot of places in Argentina, is being told that there are these, like, you know, vortices, energetic, you know, energetic vortex, or, you know, enchanted forests, or it's funny, you know, it's not like in Europe where you're going to maybe like religious sites.
Right.
You know, I went
like
to Fátima in Portugal, where people go to be cured of, you know, their ailments, or just, you know, to experience like these miracles. But here, given most people have like gotten rid of the Catholic, I mean, there's still the presence of that culture, but I think there's a lot more just looking for ovnis
it's like Argentina has dinosaur fossils, we have like duendes, we have
duendes.
It's like Patagonia. There's so many like vast, like just like expanse of land that just is like virgin and like untouched and like wild. So it's kind of like lends itself to that like legendary status of like end of the world. Like, everything is so superlative here, right? Like, end of the world, most beautiful, whatever, like biggest glacier, you know, like big waterfalls. Like, everything is very just like
widest relative. Highway, longest road, you know,
like everything.
I remember
has that vibe to it, which is kind of just like speaks to their beautiful ego.
Yeah, that's so true about the superlative.
But like, where have you been? Like, I mean, I've covered a lot of ground, but there's still so much that I really, really want to like go back to. Because I also think that like kind of the beauty of traveling around Argentina is like, because it's not just like big cities, it's like, it takes time to like, you know, get around a provincia or like a region. And so like when you go like certain places like Salta and up in Jujuy, like you need a week, you know, because it's like a road trip vibe, yeah, like a mochilero vibe. But like I finally made it to Iguazu 2 years ago. I don't even know what month it is, which was literally just like, I mean, it lived up to the hype. It was fabulous. We also stayed in like an incredible hotel. Hashtag Prensa. Thank you for that perk, because otherwise I would have probably been in some like weird hostel in Puerto Iguazu, like, oh my God, bringing my own towel places. Anyway, but so I've done Iguazu. I love the Noroeste. Like I love Salta, Jujuy, Tilcara, like up to Iruja, like all that jam, Cafayate, wine. Done Mendoza. I did skiing in Las Leñas. And then I've been...
How was that? Is that nice?
Oh my God, it was great. So clearly I'm a professional skier who had never been in a mountain bigger than... Ooh, Emilio does not agree with my life.
Like, there's never been more people in my apartment as right now, so please bear with.
The timing is perfect. So they call La Leña's White Planet, because it's, you know, it's in the mountains, obviously, but there's not that forest coverage like there is down in, like, Catedral and, like, Bariloche and Chapelco and stuff. So it's literally just, like, these incredible, massive mountain peaks that are just, like, pure white. And, I mean, the skiing is great. Like, I... had the bruises to show for it. But it was like such a fun week. We actually, it's like the one good thing I took from that relationship was learning how to ski. But we stayed at this Refugio Militar in Los Moches, which is like outside of Las Leñas.
Interesting.
Because my ex's dad was in the armed forces. And so we stayed in this like Refugio del Orto, but it was so fun. Like, I mean, I guess we're kind of like, it's like mixing in now with like what it's like to travel around Argentina and like the people that you encounter. But I feel like there's this like collective, just like buena onda vibe of just like everyone's open to like making friends and meeting people. Right. And like, I don't know, like, do you feel like you just like meet the most random, cool, bizarre humans like when you're out like traveling in Baís? Like, has that happened
Definitely.
To you?
Yeah. I mean, I also have gotten to know, you know, the main, I would say, touristic points in Argentina. And I actually lived for about a year in Bariloche. And so I took those micros a larga distancia, like, on the regular.
Oh my God.
I enjoyed them. I had some bad experiences, but I did enjoy them overall. And yeah, I met lots of cool people. One story that comes to mind, though, was when like maybe 2 years ago, Lauti and I went to the beach towns in Uruguay and met like a ton of Argentines in a hostel, and they were all musicians and they were just like playing jazz music, and it was so incredible. I also remember just like cute little kids on the buquebus that we like met their parents, and they were super sweet. But... yeah, people are like, an Argentine traveler is a special breed. And I think we're going to go into that more, because the way that they travel, I think, is like adventurous. It's not pretentious. They're not necessarily looking for like a vacation the way that, like, I think in the US we talk about like needing to get away and like disconnect and whatever. It's kind of the opposite. It's like they're looking for an experience. They're looking for like a challenge in a way, and
totally.
Like totally rise to that occasion.
Yeah, I feel like Argentines are such like accomplished travelers, like the kind of joke,
big
like
time.
I joke that like vayas a donde vayas, like va a haber un argentino, right? Like you could literally be on the moon and there'll be like a dude with like Crocs and like Ella pants being like che, pero para, soy de Belgrano, and it's like, oh my God, like they're literally everywhere. And I say that because I'm just so impressed, because Argentina is so far away from the rest of the world. Like it is so far and so hard to get anywhere, like, and it's expensive, and like you can, like, I am so impressed with so many people that I know of different, you know, ages, generations, like styles, whatever, who have just like seen so much more of the world than I have. And I guess that like, I mean, maybe there's of course that also like, I mean, like the US sort of like, I know people in the US do travel, but not like, I think that like the numbers of US citizens who have passports is like tragically low, right? Like,
yeah.
Here maybe it's because there's that fixation on like mirando hacia afuera and that kind of like, I want to leave my country, even if it's just to like have an adventure elsewhere. But
Yeah.
That whole sense of just like literally taking 12 flights to get to like Sudeste Asiatico to like.
Totally. Asia, Bali, India, Japan. I mean, I'm so impressed by the distances that they go with their little Crocs.
Like, and they even know, like, people, like, Argentines know more about the U.S. than I do in terms of, like, I haven't even been to L.A. Like, I mean, because also I moved here when I was so young and, like, I mean, you know, sort of, so when I get home, it's obviously I stay in D.C., but they're always like, pero para, vos no fuiste a Seattle? And I'm like, no, I haven't been to Seattle. Like, I would love to. Please tell me all about it. I am so impressed that you know more of my own country than I do.
Like, and I just think it's so impressive that, like, they'll retain information about the place. Lauti's parents travel a lot, and they always come back with, like, you know, just more information about art history and just like, and the culture and super impressive stuff. What was I gonna say?
Wait, I want to back up just because I want to like be an old woman for a minute and like tell people about what life was like before like the low cost airlines and when all we had to do was ride the micros, like how that was the option. Because like some people might not have like experienced that. It's like, which was so funny because I remember getting here and everyone being like, okay, you know, everyone travels around Argentina and like you can go on a plane, but it's like really expensive and like the buses are like super nice. And I remember being like, what? Like thinking, of course, like Greyhound, like shitty. Like I feel like in the U.S., like bus travel is kind of like looked down upon in a way for some reason, you know, like it's sort of not as, it's not
that's
seen
definitely it. A last resort, you know, bus travel I would say is a last resort, and you have train options, you know.
Yeah, we
you
have like
other
we,
options.
Yeah, we have like better trains, and then you have like the Chinatown bus that's like short and easy and like $20 or $5 whatever to get to New York from DC, let's say. But like, yeah, the idea of like taking a long distance bus is kind of like it's kind of skeezy. And here you had this whole like luxury service of like the Cama ejecutiva, semi-cama. Like, it was like, I remember thinking this, the first time I took a long bus ride, I took the 23-hour journey down to San Martin de los Andes, and it was like, I fully reclined, and I got, like, my little vasito de whiskey a la noche, and, like, las películas. Like, it's like, it was very, like, it felt very civilized, and I was like, this is like flying first class on a plane. Aclaración, I've never flown first class on a plane, and I think that it's obvious because I just compared it to a bus ride in Argentina.
right. We don't know our...
But
our,
it was, like, very comfortable, but you had to, like, I remember you had to go in person or, like, go to, an office to buy your ticket. Like, we couldn't buy tickets online. When I went in Semana Santa 2007, I went up to Salta and met my boyfriend and his friends who were, like, road tripping around, and I, like, flew up, and then we drove, and then we drove back to our BA, which was insane. But I remember I had to go buy my ticket in person at Aeroparque. Like, that was 2007. That was not, like, that was, yes,
not
13 years
ago,
but, like, come on. I had to go personalmente. And I was just like, this is insane. And that's why I figured why people, like, it was easier just to take a flipping bus, but.
And the bus, too, I think I would go in advance. I would buy the tickets. I mean, most of the time I would be doing it from Bariloche to get back here. And the one of the first ones I took, we played, like, bingo or something. I always like to sit in the very front seat on the top because it feels like a roller coaster.
It makes me scared.
We played bingo, and whoever won got a bottle of wine, and we obviously won. And so it was like a bottle of wine on a bus. But like my friends, I had some friends visit, and we took the bus together, and they had like books and games and activities and all sorts of stuff. Slept the entire time. I mean, it's so comfortable. You're just like rocked to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you sleep most of the time. I did have some encounters with the like attendants on board sometimes, which were weird. But of course you're always going to get one where like the wheels, something happens, technical difficulties, and you're just on the side of like a completely
like a ruta.
Deserted road in the middle of nowhere.
And then you go to like the one estación de servicio that like has like a bucket for a toilet, but like a mate hot water dispenser machine.
Yes, without fail. I mean, that's the interesting thing about like road tripping is that your service stations are, you know, you don't get your TCBY fix in a service station here. I mean, if anything, you'll get a media luna with jamón y queso, or, you know, just a sleeve of galletitas, which is just the nutrition you need to stay awake, you know, on a on a 40-hour drive.
While you're driving across, like, the flat pampas that have, like, no, like, interesting features to, like, keep your eyes and brain, like, engaged. Like, it's like
una empanada. Except for tarantulas that cross the road.
Oh, my God. It's like an empanada tibia and yet, like, sonrisas. Like, I mean, I've driven to Las Leñas. We drove, there were four of us adults in a two-door VW Gol with, like, ski equipment. Like, I know, the things that we do for love. And then, like, I drove back from Salta in that same car. It was, like, a 20-hour drive. Wow. And, like, I mean, I kind of just love that, like, that spirit of, like, nos subimos al auto y vamos. Like, I feel like maybe it goes to that kind of just, like, flexibility and, like, openness that Argentines have maybe a little more than in the U.S. of, like, the kind of, like, not being so pretentious. Yeah, like, structured and, like, pretentious about, like, what you need to travel. Like, I do think that, like, it's really, like, you just got to get in the car and you get the mapa. Well, nowadays it's, like, GPS, sure. Like, but I just remember, like, my first experiences and just kind of
being, el Waze.
Yeah, el Waze. But being, like, I just remember, like, being so kind of thinking it was cool how just, like, ready to go everyone was. You know, it's like, ay, agarro la mochi y vamos. And it's just, like, we get in the car and we drive. And, like, I mean, you see
a small little bag, like, unprepared, inevitably going to end up cold somewhere, you know, and have to buy one of those, like, Bolivian style sweaters.
Oh, well, that's a rite of passage. You have to have your llama sweater. And then, like, it has to have, like, el buzo del lugar. Like, I feel like the Argentine, the Argentino promedio is, like, a very prolific traveler, but, like, there is, like, I kind of have to defend, like, I think that's the stereotype of the ugly American, you know, like, because I think we were the first country with, like, a middle class that was mobile enough to start traveling the world, right? So there were people who were, like, uncouth or whatever you want to call it, you know, like, all over Europe suddenly, like, being gross with, like, cargo shorts and, you know, whatever. So we got the bad rap, but, like, I would say, like, the Argentino promedio traveler is, like, equally as embarrassing, just, like, in its own way. You know what I mean? Like, the Crocs, the Elepants, like, the selfie stick, like, the screaming in the airport or, like, wherever, like, at their family. Like, you know, they get around, but, like, they're not all, like, style, elegance, and grace. And I say that with love because, like, we have the same issue in the United States. But you go places and you're kind of just, like, they're out here. Like, they are just screaming their family drama, like, peleándose in the parking lot and, like, okay. And it's just like, and it's like, bueno, dale. And it's just like, vamos. And it's like, I kind of love that it's just ever present. Like, it's just there.
Totally. I mean, I think that, yeah, there's two different scenarios. One is, like, Argentines traveling internationally or traveling, and which whenever in New York, whenever, like, my roommate and I would hear somebody speaking Spanish in, like, Argentine Spanish, we were always, like, tempted to chat with them. And sometimes we would. But also that, and then there's, like, the local travel where there are certain people who are going all to the same destinations, like the coast during the summertime or during the holidays, like going to the coast all together every year, same location, same hotel or lodge or wherever you stay, and just, like, repeating that same thing.
Yeah, it's like the kind of, it's like the ritual. Like, it's kind of like, which is, like, cool. I mean, can we talk about the Costa for a second? I admit, I've never been to Mar del Plata. Remember, we had our frustrated plans to go to the film festival with our favorite Australian, David Gax, last year. And that didn't happen because he just moved away. Thanks, Gax. So I really wanted to go to Mar del, like, in off season, because the idea of being there in January literally makes my skin crawl. But speaking of, like, the other little towns along the coast, like Pinamar, Carilo, like, the first time I actually went to Carilo, like, my second week of being in Argentina. And that's when I went with the whole group of friends, and, like, it was, like, boot camp for my brain in terms of learning Spanish, which was fab. Mm-hmm. But I remember being so confused because it was, like, we're going to the beach, but, like, all of the houses are, like, in the middle of a very dense wooded area, and they're all really dark and dark wood, and they all have really small windows, and it's, like, you don't even know that you're at the beach inside that. Yeah. And, like, I was, like, why would you have a beach house that doesn't make you feel like you're at the beach?
Right. Yeah. Like brick or, you know, persianas, like, down. I had that experience recently too.
Well, it's like, they're like, it, like, little, yeah, Swiss chalets. You know, I'm like, where are we? We're not in, like, the mountains.
Right.
Like, I mean, but, like, and then
one,
like,
thing that I recently learned about in Miramar was, like, this bosque encantado.
Ooh, Shendo.
Yeah. So again, one of these like energetically powerful places. Volcán Encantado en Miramar.
Tell me about that. Like, I feel like, well, okay, so I have, well, ever, I feel like if we're going to compare beaches, obviously Uruguay is better because their sand isn't like cold and wet. Like, when we talk about like the Costa, is just like, I guess because it's like super far south, but like it's so windy. And speaking of like you're going to get cold somewhere, it's like people go to the beach in the height of summer and you have to bring a coat, like a proper, not like a
Yeah.
light sweater like in the US where you have like a nice cotton white, like cute thing with your jean shorts. You have to bring like a proper Uniqlo puffer jacket, like in a
No,
NATO.
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if it's overcast, if the wind is howling, it's
Oh my God,
super
the wind.
windy.
Y para los mates en la playa al atardecer.
Complicado.
Complicado, che. Complicado. I mean, never forget though, the time I went to Pinamar, like in pretty much high season with no place to stay. And I mean, I was like still so new here, so I wasn't like in charge. And this was like pre-Airbnb. This was like pre any like facilitation in terms of like digital, social media, whatever. And we literally ended up having to like, I'm not kidding, I can't believe I'm saying this. We had to stay in a house that was like 95% finished. Like it was constructed, but it had not been like estrenar yet.
Okay.
And like my boyfriend's friend like had a friend who worked at some like inmobiliaria or something like that and was like, se pueden quedar acá. And like literally we had to BYOS, bring your own sheets. And like it was the most like marginal experience, but it was like con tal de ir a la costa, it was like we're gonna do it. And I was just like, what am I doing? Like I was kind of just like, I would never agree to this like in normal life. And then I guess I just kind of maybe chalked it up to just like being in another country or something. But I was kind of like,
Totally.
but I kind of like a pre, like looking back, I think, okay, well, that's funny. Funny in the sense of just like that flexibility and that like, bueno, like no me voy a preocupar. Like if I don't have a place booked, like I feel like in the US it's like we have it booked, it's on the calendar, it's triple on the calendar, everyone's paid their deposit. It's da, 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 da. Like it's sort of like you don't just like fly by the seat of your pants when you're traveling.
Right, like activities are booked in advance, tours are scheduled. But yeah, you gotta go bring your own sheets, bring your own sleep sack if you're doing the mochilero approach.
So
We
many mochileros.
got this little like sleep sack thing that is like a sleeping bag, but sheets. It's like much lighter, and it came really in handy when we were traveling through the area.
I mean, I feel like when we went up to Semana Santa and it was like we were road tripping in our own car, but I remember just, that seemed like mochilero territory. Like everyone was in there with their like backpack. Everyone was like hitchhiking from town to town. Like it was kind of this like, and that was again, this was 13 years ago. So it was like we made up to Irusha and there was like no ATM. Like there was not an ATM in the town. And so like,
No, Irusha is so, oh, Irusha is so
it's
cool.
so cool. And like, but I remember we stayed, I don't know if it was in Irusha or somewhere like nearby, like before we got there at some hostel that, yeah, had like, I mean, it was so bare bones. Like I feel like there's this whole thing of like, I mean, like Argentina, like the interior, like in general, especially when you're in these very remote places, it's like todo es mucho más humilde, right? Like it's maybe like it's clean, it's fine, it's whatever, but it's just like so, it's this mix of just like super bare bones, but also you feel like you're traveling like 20 years back in time or like 30 years back in time. Like it's kind of like you don't like Buenos Aires is so cosmopolitan and has this incredible architecture, like Brutalist, you know, Belle Epoque, like Art Nouveau, like whatever. It has all these things, and it's like really, it's relatively, you know, current, even though, like, you know, it's great, fine, cool. But then, like, you go to, like, yeah, some town, like, on your way through the Provincia de Cordoba, and you're like, am I in 1983? Like, am I, like, just like, where, like, everything just feels like a little more stuck in time. Like, the
Definitely.
decor chance selection is like a little more questionable, and like, it's just like another ritmo, which is kind of cool, though, because you've got like, I don't know. It's like a very different, but I guess that kind of also depends on your mindset because I feel like some places are like really talked up. Like someone's like, tenés que ir acá, es lo más, es espectacular. And then you're like, oh my God, yes. And then you get there and it's like, oh.
Wah,
Bad
wah.
trombone.
Like,
Like,
so what do we do here? Like, and it's like, tomamos unos mates. It's like, oh, okay, so we do that. That's something that I find is it's a little bit repetitive. Like, you know, when I went to Tandil recently, which I really loved, and we stayed at an awesome place, and but it felt a little bit like the cafes and stuff felt a little bit like Bariloche, and yeah. then it kind of just felt like an afternoon in Buenos Aires at one point. I was just like, oh, we're just having our merienda like in the cafe, you know. I was like where are the long treks, like where are the, and I'm sure that, you know, it was my first time there, I discovered like as much, we discovered as much as we could, but it was a little, and I wouldn't say I was disappointed by Tandil, but I've had those experiences where, you know, somebody had such a great experience. Maybe they went with friends or like lo que fuera. For instance, when we went to San Marcos Sierra in Cordoba, and my friends, Lauti and my friends, were talking it up so much. And I got there and it was like, oh, okay, this is like a cute plaza, like the same artesanías that I've kind of seen around most of the area or Argentina in general. There was like a little rio, like a little kind of stream running through. And I was like, sure, it's definitely beautiful, but it had been so built up that I was kind of expecting
like major, like life-changing experience.
Yeah. And I think that like usually the vistas are incredible. But in that case, I think it was like, no, hay como una energía muy especial ahí. Hay un lugar donde vas y te pasa no sé qué cosa. Han visto ovnis ahí, duendes, you know, all this fascination with like the supernatural, which same in Capilla del Monte, which like they just have like statues of aliens.
I fucking love Argentina, like Jesus Christ, like it's just amazing. It's so bizarre. I mean, well, that like that kind of happened when we took my dad to Bariloche last year, and we stayed like out in this beautiful area, like out, you know, obviously not in the city, and the city itself is like, yeah, kind of like, it's, I remember we didn't have great weather, like it was really cloudy, and obviously when it's sunny and beautiful and blue skies, everything looks better, especially in a place that's like nature oriented. But I remember being like really depressed by like the Centro Cívico de Bariloche, like it was not, like it was rough, like it just, and like all, like there was just like a lot of graffiti, and like, and it just like looked really like depressing, like, and I was kind of like, like my dad, we were like strolling around, and like all the shops are just like, yeah, these like junky souvenir shops. Like the one highlight is like the Rapa Nui like ice skating rink, and like, but it was just like very like, and there's really not that much to do, so it's sort of like unless you're doing like naturey stuff, and it was too cold and windy for us to do that. Because we weren't going in like plan trekking, right? So like the walks and stuff we wanted to do were like kind of difficult because it was just like unpleasant weather. My dad was a bit sick. And so like walking around town was just like, ugh. Like I was just sort of like, I was definitely, and I felt bad because I was kind of trying, I was seeing it through his eyes and he wasn't saying anything, but I was just sort of like, this is weird. Like, because Bariloche and the whole region is, you know, is so gorgeous. Like the lakes and everything are so impressive. But like there's that weird contrast with like, the towns themselves, the cities, like Cordoba Capital, I thought we stayed like right in the cool little part near the, whatever, the shopping mall, the Patio de Olmos. And like, that was really fun to walk around like Barrio Güemes, and like, and it had like a nice smaller town feel, but like, it was still pretty with that like gorgeous church. But there are some places that, yeah, just feel like Puerto Iguazu is like the most depressing town. It has like dark energy. Like it has,
yeah,
like bad shit has happened there. Like I don't know if I want to know like what that supernatural is. You know what I mean?
I felt, yeah, I kind of felt that a little bit there too. And in Bariloche, cause I lived in Bariloche in 2010, and maybe I was just hyper-focused on like the hunks who worked on the mountain, and I was distracted. But when I went back, like, when I went back in 2017, 2018, I felt the same thing. I was like, vino para abajo. Like there was a lot of graffiti and it just kind of bummed me out. And like the drugged up St. Bernards that are in like
don't
the
even,
plaza, just don't so even depressing. But then absolutely like out in the kilometros, it's incredible. And there are some like lodges and places that are just out of this world.
Yeah. There's like this stunning, but, like counterpoint to that, but then, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that happened to me too, thinking of in the north when I was there last year or the year before, I don't even, I still don't know what year it is. And I was up in Jujuy and we bopped around and we went back to Umawaka. And I remember, like, you've got like Umawaka, Tilcara, Purmamarca, like all those little towns in a row, which are super fun and everyone has like a different style or like whatever. But Umawaka was like, I remember being so much more charming, you know, 13 years ago. And now it is like this weird, like, not a town, but like obviously not a city, and just felt like super gritty and like, yeah, like depressing. Like weird fake artesanías. Like, you used to be able to buy like really cool quality, like handmade goods, you know, and kind of have like a variation. And now it's just like every town has like the same like factory produced like hats, you know, and like necklaces and stuff. And I was just like, ugh, like I just felt really sad. Yeah, and there were like a lot of kids begging and like, you know, just like it just had like a sadder vibe. And I was kind of like, And so if you go to those places and you don't have like great weather, I feel like it's such a basic and stupid thing to say, but like the weather was shitty, so everything just looked more depressing, you know?
Like, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, but the North overall, I think, has always been highlight for me. I've been three times. The first time I went with a group of girls, like some Argentine girls, we rented a car. We were like off-roading unintentionally, like driving down like places that were not roads. And that was the first place that I learned about the concept of the bolso.
Ay, el bolso, sí, sí.
Which I think is so brilliant. Like, maybe now as I reflect on it, like any trips that I've done with friends in the States, it's like Venmo me, like one person takes on all the costs and then just divides it and like sends you the bill at the end, essentially.
Yeah.
But the bolso, where you all chip in and then any like communal compras that you do come out of the bolso. It's just like a nice little proactive way to take care of like the cuentas.
Yeah.
And I love that concept.
Yeah, it's such a good little vibe. Like, yeah, I think the North is my favorite region because it's so vast and there's like so many different places to check out there. Like the wine down like closer in Cafayate, and then like oh my God, we went to the Colomé like winery and estate, which is like literally in the middle of nowhere. It's like a 3-hour drive.
Recomiendo.
It is altísimo plan. Oh my God, like that was just incredible. But then like, but I also love, I mean, Mendoza, what's not to love in terms of like you have mountains, you have beautiful, like incredible winery. Like, you've got great food. Like, that's always a good trip, I feel like. And that's fun to do with, like, friends. Like, I kind of also feel like the Argentine, kind of tying into, like, our friendship episode is, like, son muy de viajar con amigos. You know what I mean? It's, like, very, like, maybe, like, you've got, like, your pareja trips, but then it's, like, vamos con los pibes a Mendoza este fin de semana, you know, the fin de largo.
Yeah.
And it's, like, sí, re, tipo, and, like, you do, like, an asado. And it's sort of just, like, you kind of, I feel like there's that memory making, like, that adventure memory making plan. But then,
totally.
But wait, okay. I don't think we talked about this yet. There's the theory, because we need to talk about Uruguay and like where Argentines go in the region, like close by. But
right.
The whole concept of going to Colonia and how there's this theory that couples that go to Colonia break up when they get back. Have you heard that?
This, I hadn't heard about it until you mentioned it to me, and I think that's so funny. It's like a curse.
It's like, there's a, if you like look it up on Twitter, there's this whole thread about like it's like if you literally look up like Parejas Colonia, and it's like from 2018 and it has like thousands of likes and retweets and stuff, and like people tell these stories of like, yeah, it's like kind of like the last ditch effort to like try to save your relationship and be like, vamos a Colonia, like romantico, like, you know, like bring back the spark, and then you just like come back and you're like, this is fucking over, because like whatever,
it's over.
Like it's like whatever happened in Colonia, like straw that broke the camel's back. Like,
interesting. Yeah. I know, I hadn't heard of that, but yeah, I could see that,
because it's like, I feel like the couples trips are kind of funny when you see like did you see, do you remember like back in the day, more in like the days of early days of Facebook and like MSN Messenger, when like couples would travel together and they would maybe take photos of themselves together, but then like the guy would take a picture of the girl and then like vice versa. And it's like, cause you have to have like the picture of like just you, like just in case for when you break up. And it's always like a picture of them jumping in the air.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Gotta get air. Of course.
That jumping
pic. You mentioned that another place that people go for like couple trips is El Calafate.
Yeah. They go always to the glacier. Cause it's just like, and it's always like, you know, they're vamos a tomar el whiskycito, like they do when they do, like, and they get like
lit.
Yeah.
Getting lit at the glacier, and it's then like, bringing it back to the hostel.
Yeah, getting freaky deaky in those camas marineras. Like, I feel like there's that kind of, like, there are certain, like, destinations. Like, I feel like Brazil, I mean, Brazil can be very friends too, but it's like, vamos a Florianópolis is like very, like, de pareja, you know, like, I feel like there's those, like, moments of just, like, you know, the getaway. And, like, oh, my God. I just think that but I remember thinking the photos when I was dating Andres. And, like, I would, like, get a picture of us. And he'd be like, bueno, sácame a mí ahora. And I'm like, why? Like, everywhere we went, he had to have, like, a picture of himself. And then he was like, I'll take a picture of you. And so, like, then it's like you have this photo album of just, like, the two of you separately in the same place. And it's just, like, why are we doing this?
Por la hulas.
Por la hulas. And then, like, the, oh, hi. And the jumping photo is, like, my favorite. Like, in the Salinas Grandes, where everyone's, like, has their, like, hippie pants on and they're, like, doing, like, acrobatics.
Oh, yeah. Gotta get creative on those Salinas Grandes pics. Now, would he smile in the pictures?
No, they don't smile in the pictures.
Another interesting tidbit. It's like,
why is that?
We were really bred to be like, cheese, like, shit-eating grin, like, no matter how you're actually feeling inside. So, like, okay, I respect the fact that, like, you're not just, like, putting on this big fake smile, but it's like, sometimes I'll look at, like, Lauti's family pictures from, like, their travels, and I'm like, oh, you all were miserable.
Yeah, it's like, can we please... like, even put, like, a little, can we smize? Can we put, like, some emotion into it? Like,
yeah, at least smize. Like, at least turn up the corners a little bit. Like, show that, like, wow, I'm impressed by this, you know, vista behind me or whatever. And not just, like, oh, you caught me in the middle of, like, some, you know, pensamiento circular whatever.
I feel like it's, like, the brooding nature of, like, they want to be, like, seductive. Like, it starts with that. And then it just becomes, like, yeah, like, we don't. Yeah, it's so funny because it's so true. We're so bred to be, like, best trip ever. Thanks, Dad and Mom, for, like, taking me to North Carolina. And, like, you know, here it's more just, like, like, so much more kind of, like, low-key, which is just funny because you wouldn't necessarily think that. But, like, because I feel like then you have, like, the pictures, like, in Brazil where they're, like, in the beach, which is basically just, like, a mini Argentina in the summer. And, like, they're all, like, on the sand. Like, they kind of get, like, sexy, you know? They have, like, flower in their hair. Like, they'd love to have a good, like, souvenir, like, a photo souvenir.
Definitely.
Like, oh my God. And then I feel like, well, and this isn't within Argentina, but, like, my favorite place to go is Uruguay. Sorry about it.
Yeah. I mean, I had such a great time getting to know, like, we went to Punta del Este, I've been to, and then we went to La Pedrera, Punta del Diablo, and Cabo Polonio.
Amazing.
Which were incredible. I really loved those towns.
Those are so
La Pedrera
your vibe.
La Pedrera reminded me of towns in Costa Rica. There was a lot of Argentines. The beach is gorgeous. And then Cabo Polonio, you have to get, it's like on a, you know, a peninsula, and you have to get there in these, like, big dune buggy, these big, like, dune buggy trucks. But the one thing, this memory is seared into my brain of, like, we're waiting to get onto the dune buggy truck, and this kid just vomits everywhere. You know, I have an issue. We both have an issue with vomiting.
I'm, like, going to be anxious, like, the rest of the day just hearing the word vomit.
Sorry. So now Cabo Polonio always has that memory for me. But and then the second funny thing is we get up on, and there's, like, two levels on these big trucks, and, like, you know, it's kind of this, like, rugged ride, and this woman screams to her son, abrochate los crocs, and I'd, like, repeat that, like, all the time. It was so classic.
That's so, like, the current just, like, viajero argentino, like, the crocs is just, like, it's like a prerequisite, like, to travel you have to have a pair.
Totally. I mean, my trip to Cabo Polonio was kind of like a pilgrimage after seeing Pero Ta Chingo, the video. Uh-huh. Of Rie Chinito that they filmed there, and I was like, I have to go to this place. It's like, for me, that is an energetic center, like, wherever.
True.
That, if you haven't seen the video, it's incredible. And but yeah, there's no electricity. Like, they put, like, little luminaries, like, along, like, the sand
so
paths.
Cool.
And it's just, it was really a really special place. And then, like, the big dunes in Punta del Diablo, and the ocean is just like very energetic there.
Yeah, I feel like because it's so funny. I mean, I go to Punta a lot. We don't go like in high season because it's just like too much. But I love it, like, you know, at the beginning of the summer and then towards the end and then even in the winter, I like it. Just kind of go in like plan tranqui. Like, I don't go to like party. It's more of just like to be in the ocean. And it's so true. Like, the beaches are pretty, right? They're not like the world's most beautiful by any stretch, but they're just like, there's something about the vibe in Uruguay and like the water there that just like calms my soul and like brings so much peace to me. And like, it's like my happy place. Like with Jose, I just like, I always like yearn for Uruguay. Like when I just like want to get away with him, like, I don't know. There's just something about it. The Uruguay is just like so buena onda. But it's just like, there is that like Argentine arrogance where they're just like, Uruguay is una provincia argentina. You know, they kind of like,
right.
And I'm like, you wish because Uruguay is just like the bomb. Like
they have mejores lácteos, mejor onda.
Con la prole.
What is it that they always say? What do they say? Like, vamos para arriba or something like that. They have a phrase there that I absolutely loved. And they say like, da.
And bo. Like, hey, bull. They say bull. And like, they have, I think that the it's not to be underestimated, the quality of the lácteos, because that requesón, I literally like buy it in bulk and then bring it back on the buque bus with me. And they have great wine. Like, you go to like Garzón, looks like a little like Tuscany. It has like these beautiful rolling hills, great, excellent wines. Like, everyone's friendly. Like, honestly, that's kind of my fave spot to get to. And it's so easy from BA when you think about it. But like, I guess like if I had to pick, I guess there's just this funny thing about like the interior, and like, I think that Uruguay also has this a little bit because it's such a small, like, tranqui country. Like, everything is just like stretched out. Like, there's no, like, there isn't that rush. Like, we went to see my friend La Romy in Villa Carlos Paz, which is in Córdoba. It's a town that like explota in summertime because it has the teatro, like, so it's like temporada. Like, all of the like the D-list celebs, like Flavio Mendoza and stuff, like decamp to Villa Carlos Paz. It's like so bizarre to me. But so the rest of the year, it's like super, you know, it's like it's on a lake. It's really pretty, but it's like very just tranqui. But like, we went, it was so fun. We were there for the weekend, and like, yeah, like everything just takes longer. Like, not because like, not because you have to wait in line or anything, but just because like no one's in a rush. It's like, bueno, like, Romy's an excellent cook, and so she was like making all these things for us. But it was like, vamos a la panadería, volvemos. Vamos a la verdurería, volvemos. And it was like, vamos acá. Everything was just like, it just like was extended to like fill up the day more, which was like funny because I'm so used to the kind of more intense rhythm here in Buenos Aires. And like, and it was like, we went to her friend's house and we were just like sitting around, and it was like, they were all so friendly and nice. Like, this isn't a bad thing, but it was just like funny how like, you could tell that like all the porteños were kind of like, bueno, okay, like, you know, when are we going to get the show on the road? And I was like, oh my God.
That's interesting. Yeah. To put that past a porteño is like, damn.
Yeah. And then we were just like joking about like how, yeah, like how it's just like otro ritmo, you know, like you have the siesta, like in like Santiago del Estero, cause it's like 1,000 degrees. Like, they have like proper siesta. And like, I feel like those kinds of like traditions are much more like still much, very much a thing. Whereas like here in Capital, they've been like totally lost. So it's like kind of like, if you want to like visit the Argentina of yesteryear, like in every sense of the word, like just viajar por el interior.
Totally. And I hear you about that, like taking so many steps to like get the meals prepared. I think that when you go on trips with people, it's like most of what you're doing on any given day is like around like cooking and preparing the meals.
Yes.
And, you know, and the mate. And so you have four meals because you definitely have a merienda, especially when you're on like when you're viajando.
Siempre.
When we were in Tandil, there was this awesome supermarket. I was like, why does it not exist in BA? It was called La Monarca. And it had such good embutidos, such good queso y salami. And it was just like a pleasure. We went there like every day. We went to like three different locations of it.
Oh, I love it. You're an influencer of La Monarca. Well, I feel like then there's like the snack, like the choclo on the beach. Like, there are like delicias regionales, and it's like you have to try like the mermelada or like the dulce de. Like, it's so just like
miel. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the miel. Like,
totally.
Like in Bariloche, like the Rosa Mosqueta, which is like good shit because that's like
gotta get
your face. But the like the shop where you like buy the Rosa Mosqueta is literally from like 1970.
Like, and it's like all Rosa Mosqueta. It's like Rosa Mosqueta in this, you know,
format,
like format, and in another, and in a tincture, and in a balm, and in a like. You can eat it. You can rub it on your body.
It's so funny. Like you have to, like you have to buy like the, you know, the requisite like souvenirs. You know, it's like every region, of course, has its like recuerdos. You know, like the colaciones from Cordoba, and like yeah, like Bariloche has its chocolate. Like
the chocolate.
And it's like you cannot go back without bringing like the most over the top touristy thing, like for your family. Like
gotta bring them back for los chicos en la ofi, you know.
No, y los sobrinos, por mis sobrinos, son tremendos. Joaquín
les encanta.
Joaquín no es un capo, la verdad que es un no, es re mío, ¿eh?
So where would you like to go? Like what random spot would you like to go to next?
Oh my God, I want to go everywhere. I think I want to go, part of me just wants to do like a full on like wine extravaganza in Mendoza and just like go back and go fully into it. But I also think I want to go up back to like the Noroeste and like up to like desert mountains and just like eat a lot of empanadas, like wear a poncho and just like breathe that fresh ass air, like, and just like be higher up. I don't know. What about you?
Totally. So this place, Epecuén.
Oh, like, we have to go there.
So fascinating to me. So what was it in like the 20s? It got started to be developed as, again, a place that had like healing
waters.
Energies. It was an Englishman who like started the development there. And I think you were able to access it by train. And then like a local dam broke and flooded the entire place. And it just like quedó como congelado en el tiempo, talking about like stuck in time.
It's,
legit.
Yeah. Now it's like a pilgrimage site, like in the sense of like, because it's like this kind of legendary place for how it's remained just like untouched and kind of like in this suspended state of disaster. And like, because also it's close by, it's in Provincia of Buenos Aires, and it's like, you know, you've got Salamone, the architect who like built all of these incredible, like buildings, like in civil, like municipality stuff. So it's like this kind of like almost a rite of passage. I feel like if you've made it to Epecuén, it's like, that's kind of like a niche, but also like popular, like hot spot to be like, I've been there. You know what I mean? Like to be like, we did it. And it's, I mean, that's a road trip. That's like 6 or 7 hours, I think, right?
Yeah, it piques my interest. But at the same time, I've done it enough to know, like, we're going to go there, we're going to see it, and we're going to drink some mate staring at it. Like, now I know, like, that's the thing that we do, you know?
And then
it's
kind
of the same activity in a different place.
Yeah, and then you're going to, like, walk around, like, the Plaza Central that probably is called, like, Plaza Nueve de Julio. Like, every town and city has the same name. It's, like, Plaza
Sarmiento,
Nueve de Julio, 25 de Mayo. There's, like, no variety. And so you'll get really confused because you're like, wait, is this street what? And then, yeah, you'll, like, go to, like, the one cafecito and have, like, a sandwich de miga. And then it'll be, like, check. But it'll be, like, I mean, I think that it's kind of, that'll be, I think we need to make that happen and then like report back, because that'll be a kind of a
I
cool,
like that idea.
I like that's like a next level like Argentine travel experience, because it's definitely not like a priority if you're first coming here unless you're like some architecture freak, right? And then so it's kind of like you have to like know, like it's like if you don't get it, you don't get it. Like you've got to know about Epecuén, boludo.
Totally. It's covered in a layer of white and gray salt.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely going to have an eerie vibe.
Maybe we can like connect with the spirits there. Are there duendes?
I'm sure. And there, at this point, there is a sole resident. There's one human being who lives there. And there's a documentary about him. We got to watch it.
I mean,
Pablos Villa.
Literally like Shendo to watch it right now. Yeah, I think actually it's been covered in the New York Times, I feel like. Like every once in a while it like pops up in like international media, like this town is stuck in time in Argentina, like blah. And it's like another claim to fame, like another superlative, like we've got the biggest jungle, we've got the biggest glacier, now we've got like the biggest ghost town that's been trapped in water from a dam that broke and then was never repaired. It's like
it's so typical like Argentina story. I also think about when people are taken to like the Florales Generis.
Oh yeah.
and it's like not working anymore. And
it hasn't worked ever.
A metaphor for Argentina. It's just like the intention of this flower is that it open and closes with the sun, but it does not work. So here
so
we
just
are.
Just take a picture of it and pretend that it's opening and closing with the rhythm of the day. Oh my
god! It was a cool idea.
This was kind of, this. Yeah, it was like just imagine it. Like use your imagination.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Oh my god, me río para no llorar. Oh my god, this has like made me like want to just like go on like a countrywide just like tour. Maybe we should do a bad information tour.
Hell yeah! Reporting live from Epic Win.
Oh my god! Epic Win. No, and then Terma de Rio Hondo. Like we've got to go there. Those are hot water springs, and there's like a racetrack.
Ooh. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, girl, we got to get on it. We got to look at these destinos regionales.
Total, I would love to hop on a micro, to be honest, and just be lulled to sleep. I cannot stay awake on a micro. Just
color me shocked.
I can't stay awake in a movie. I'm barely awake right now.
You're like constantly on the verge of just conking out. Like you're just like so zen that your body like no puede.
I don't know what
meanwhile,
it is.
I haven't slept in 47 years. Like I'm just like so highly strung. Like Jesus Christ. That's why I need to go to the termas and I need to like Termas. I don't even know if I'm saying
termas.
It right.
Termas. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh my! We went to a hot water, like a sulfur thing in Mendoza, in like Las Leñas. We stank like rotten eggs. But I swear to you, I have never slept better in my life than after that night. And like, also, like, imagine all your body hurting from skiing and like your muscles and whatever being sore. And like, it was literally that. Talk about healing powers. They only like let you in for like 2 minutes because it's such a high temperature. And stuff that you can like, and they ask you if you have like heart condition and stuff because you could die or something terrible. And then they wrap you in a blanket when you're done and they let you sleep on a cot, which is like not at all luxurious. It's like the opposite of a spa, but it's then like 20 minutes later, you feel like you have been reborn.
Wow. Sign me up.
Like,
yeah.
Literally,
I was thinking in comparison, you know, like the one thing that sometimes happens when I travel through Argentina, like whether it's with Lauti or not, is like you draw parallels to like places in the US that kind of resemble, because I think that there's a lot of resemblances, like the North kind of resembles like maybe the Southwest of the US. And then, I don't hear friends being like, oh yeah, I'm going out to like Utah because of like the healing powers of this vortex that's there. And that does happen in like the Sedona and Arizona areas. Like I feel like it's starting to happen now, but that's the motivation for a lot of travel here is like, let's go see where the onda is like lo mejor.
Yeah. And most in the US it's like, we're going to Aspen because like Susie's dad has like a
house. We have a timeshare there. Yeah.
Or like, you know, it's we're going for Kaylee's bachelorette. And so we're going to go to Lake Tahoe. And it's like,
so we'll just get a 30 of Natty Light and
no, like where's
float
the
around
bay. And like, you know, girls weekend to Napa. And here it's very much more just like for the onda and for the adventure. And I feel like that is like, that's like inspirational. And I feel like now more than ever, like, we need to like just travel for the sake of like adventuring and like exploring. Oh. And like, I just would kill to be able to be on the ruta and like going to some shady estación de servicio where I may or might not be abducted from the bathroom. Jeez. You know, while I wait for my media luna to be like hostada. Like I just, like I would love that experience. Like the parrilla de la ruta, you know, like on the way to the beach, like all of those things that maybe we took for granted that now we're going to like embrace fully.
Absolutely. The Atalaya Cafeteria for Media Lunas on the way to the Costa, which was also very built up for me. And I was like, okay, it's aight. Like, but
it's cool.
I guess the quality of the Media Lunas have gone down, I've been told. But it was like, oh yeah, this place, it's sweet. It's super endearing. And I don't mean to throw shade, but
just like a little
shade. But yeah, you know, there's a whole like, when you road trip in the US, like you can go like jump in a ball pit at a service center. And here it's like, yeah, you're lucky if there's toilet paper.
Don't forget the sign in the bathroom that's like, do not throw your sherba down the drain of the sink. Like inevitably.
Heaven forbid.
Like you can't, like it's also like, but it's so funny that you think that like mate is obviously so part of like the DNA of the Argentine soul. Like, you think that they would know that automatically. Like, we wouldn't need a sign because like everyone knows that you don't dump the yerba down the flipping drain. But it's like, this is why we can't have nice things, you know?
Exactly.
But I will say, shout out to the random estación de servicio that I stopped by on my way home from Concordia, Entre Ríos. That was so cool. I went to the rice harvest in Entre Ríos last year. Like, so beautiful. Cool. And there's all these, like, weird Germans, like, chilling there. On the way back, we, like, stopped. And, yeah, it was, like, this really fancy, brand-new service station. It felt like a mall. Like, it was an IPF full or something insane.
Nice.
But it was, like, glitzy, gleamy, shiny. And I was like, oh, this is, like, comfortable. Like, I could work here. This is, like, my co-working space. Like, they were, like, it was really fancy. And, I mean, they had, like, I think they had, like, a mini, like, barrichita or something. Like, just they were selling, like, you know, what it was over the top. So who knows? Maybe it's, like, maybe we got to get back on the open road and, like, do a whole, like, survey of estaciones de servicio.
Let's do it. Let's rate the different estaciones.
Oh, my God. I just, like, love that you are living in a construction site. Let's just shout out to the reality of technology while we are living, working, obrando in the same place, doing our best. Like, I think that's, you know, like, come on. Like, throw me a bone.
Yeah.
Like, they're, like, he's just telling them.
I mean, the tiles, we're in the middle of tile gate right now. And honestly, I didn't know what time the dude was coming. And here we go.
Because he said, ahora voy. He didn't tell you a time.
En un rato voy. Like, do I try to get this done before? Do I, like, how much is of a rato?
And let's just consider ourselves fortunate because I also had people drilling next to my apartment this morning and yesterday and the day before. We could have had double drill, which would have been like explosion of the universe. And the same thing. I was like, chicos, ya terminaron? And they were like, uh-huh. And then they just kept going. And I was like, okay then. So this is just, I'm not sure what the lesson is, but I think I'll learn it eventually.
I mean, at least he's not picando. I'll give him that.
Well, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's literally enough to drive you mad. Speaking of mad. So I think what I'm going to do now is go on the Plataforma 10 website and just, like, cry at the obscure destinations that I want to visit, but I'm not allowed to. Should we do that?
Let's just Google map them, Google Earth them, and just take some virtual tours.
Oh, let's take a virtual tour of the Centro Cívico, and then of, like, the Mirador Turístico, and then of, like, the, like, Museo de la Tradición. Like, please.
Exactly.
My God.
El Museo del Ferrocarril that is just abandoned here. So let's just look at the tracks and the old train cars or whatever.
Oh, my God. Shout out to, like, all of the things that are, like, not safe and they have, like, no guardrails. Like, all of, like, the natural features that you can, like, climb up that have, like, a tiny little rope and, like, would literally not save your life if you fell. Like,
no.
ATR Argentina. Oh, this just, like, this warmed my heart. Made me a little, like, sad and nostalgic, but made me excited for our bad information national tour, because that's what's happening.
Let's do it. Let's start with Cachi, Irusha, or Cachi in the north.
Let's do, like, de La Quiaca hasta Ushuaia. Let's, like, cover
totally
north to south on the
let's
por la
do
40.
Like the familia. Oh, I can't remember their last name, but they rode in a Ford. It wasn't a Ford Model T. It was like a another super old car from the 20s. They drove it from Argentina to Alaska and, like, had a family along the way, the Sapp family. Definitely, like, life goals. Like, they
literally
got, like,
legends.
You know, 100 kilometers out and the car completely broke down. And the story is just, like, how they persisted. Super impressive.
Oh, I love that. Wow. Hats off to those insane, amazing people. But, like, of course it would be an Argentine family that would do that. You know what I mean? Like, of course.
Exactly. Like, just up for anything. It's like, yeah, there's plenty of people who've done, like, incredible feats of, like, walking or riding your bike, you know, incredible distances, and you're sponsored and you're geared up by, you know, REI or whatever. These two hopped in a car from 1928 and were like, we have 6 months, let's go to Alaska.
Dale.
Ridiculo.
But I only have one, like, final piece of advice for you.
What's that?
Abrochate las crocs.
Safety first, people.
So I guess I'll see you out there on the open road.
See you, girl. We'll get a pozo together. We'll grab some sandwiches de amiga, and I'll bring the thermo. You bring the A sherwa.
Listo. I got it. I love it. So I guess I'll just, yeah, meet you at the estación de servicio.
Dale. Punto de encuentro.
Bye! Bye.